Isaiah chapter number 61. We have been the month of December talking about Christmas and using it as an acrostic. We started the month with the letter C. The letter C was for Christ. The letter H was for hope. The letter R was for redemption, reconciliation, and riches. And I guess a lot of people might think, well, where does riches fit into Christmas? The Bible said that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. One old preacher said it like this. He said, now this don't go for me today, but he said, when you leave here, he said, shake my hand. He said, go out and tell everybody you shook hands with a poor boy that's got everything. I like that. Amen. If you have Christ, you're rich. You're rich. And then let's see, the letter C-H-R-I was for Emmanuel. We had a lot of fun with that, didn't we? Amen. And then C-H-R-I-S, S was for the sun. T was for the tree. Thank God for the old rugged cross, the tree. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The T, then the M was Wednesday night. That was the Magnificat, where that Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And I guess that would leave us this morning with the letter A. And I've had on my heart all week that the letter A would stand for adoration. But last night, about 7 o'clock, the Lord changed my mind on what we were going to speak on today. The letter A is going to stand for the Anointed One. Amen. And the word anoint in the Scripture comes from the meaning to rub. And in the Old Testament, they would take oil. The priest would take oil and he would rub it. And what it was a type of, even today, sometimes folk want to be anointed with oil. It's a type of he, the Holy Spirit, of the living God. I'm glad that Jesus was anointed, aren't you? He was the Anointed One. And I want to share with you today what God's put in my heart. Isaiah chapter 61, if you'll stand with me in reverence to the Word of God, I'd like to share this with you this morning. The Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. You may think at first glance that Isaiah is speaking of himself, but I will show you in a moment that Isaiah was not prophesying or speaking of himself, but he was prophesying of the Christ that was to come. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You can be seated. Pray with me, please, and pray for me. Father, I sure do need your help this morning. I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to speak what you've put in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that it'll be received in the hearts and minds of the hearers. So good, Lord, to look out there this morning and see folk we hadn't seen in a while. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'll bless in this service today. May the Lord Jesus have his will and have his way in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What I want to talk about this morning is the anointed 1. There's three things that I want to share with you today. The first thing is the anointed Messiah. To be anointed meant to be set apart to fulfill God's plan. Let me say this to you this morning. God has a plan for every one of our lives. Every one of us, God has a plan for our life. And I know that some people cooperate with God's plan, and some people don't. You remember when Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he said, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." He was kicking against God's plan for his life. But he come to a place of salvation and a place where he yielded his heart and his life to God. And he became one that could be used, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, of the Lord. So set apart to fulfill God's plan. He's the anointed Messiah. He's going to be the Savior of Israel and the Savior of mankind. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4 this morning. I think this is important in the message. In Luke chapter number 4, there's some things going on here, and I think it's a wonderful, wonderful text. And in the text, the Bible said in verse 16 that he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, that would be Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." In verse 20 he said, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Then he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." There can be no doubt that this scripture that Isaiah is giving us is speaking of none other than the anointed Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ that was to come. He had talked to us earlier and said, "A virgin shall conceive and be with child." He had told us earlier that his name would be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He had told us earlier that he would be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, and then the others as well. He is the anointed Messiah. Something that I picked up on here, and I want you to think about this, beloved. I wonder how many Christians today, I wonder how many preachers are today, are trying to do the work of God out from under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, of the living God. And what I want you to understand is, if my Lord and your Lord and my Savior and your Savior dare not head out into his ministry without the anointing of the blessed Spirit of the living God, how dare you and I, beloved, try to do anything in his name without a holy dependence, amen, upon he, the Holy Ghost, he, the Holy Spirit of the living God. I think this is a wonderful text, but something I had not picked up on. Normally, and lots of it's because of our English translation and our English chapter divisions, but normally when I look at the first part of chapter number 4, I'm thinking about the temptation of our Lord Jesus. That's what's going on there. But I want you to understand, when I saw this in its context, it blessed me. In other words, beloved, listen, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." He didn't say, "It will be upon me," or "It was upon me." He said, "It is upon me." Let me show you what I mean. In verse number 1, Jesus is getting ready to go out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You know what the Bible said? It said he was led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, beloved, we're living in a generation that's mixed up sometimes. They think, boy, if you're being tempted to sin, you must be some kind of a wicked person. I want you to know, beloved, the temptation is not where the wickedness lies. It's given in. Our Lord stood up. He was holy. He was harmless. Amen. He didn't give in to the temptation. He was led of the Spirit of the living God out into the wilderness. But watch this. In verse 14, and Jesus returned. Hallelujah. He went out in the Spirit. He came back in the Spirit, victorious over the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh had to do with the provision. The lust of the eyes had to do with position. And the lust of the flesh had to do with protection. But our Lord passed the test. That's why he could go to Calvary and give his life and be that holy sacrifice for our sin this morning. Amen. He is the anointed Messiah. Thank the Lord. Look in Acts chapter 4 with me for just a moment. Acts chapter number 4, verse 23. In Acts chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible said, in being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. The Bible said, who by the mouth of his servant David, thy servant David, has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Look at verse 27. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Beloved, listen, Jesus was the anointed of God, and it was in the plan of God that he would be born of a virgin in a lowly stable. It was in the plan of God, beloved, listen, that he would confound the wise with his knowledge, because it was infinite, it was eternal. It was in the plan of God that he would do always those things which please the Father. It was in the plan of God that he would live holy. Amen. While he was down here, that the Bible said he would go about doing good everywhere he went, beloved. Jesus couldn't even go to a funeral. He broke it up every time he went. Amen. Somebody got up. Thank God, because he got up. You and I are going to get up one day after a while. It was in the plan of God that he would go to Calvary and stretch out his arms and die. It was in the plan of God that they would bury him in a borrowed tomb, because he wasn't going to need it long. Amen. He was going to get up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. It was in the plan of God that he would be seen above 500 brethren at once. It was in the plan of God that his ministers would go out and preach the gospel. It was in the plan of God that he would ascend back to the Father and sit back down where he got up from and make intercession for you and for me. It was all in the plan of God. God had a plan for his son. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. You see, according to the book of Luke, when you read it in its context, Jesus was tempted. Then Jesus reads in the book of Isaiah how that God, the Spirit of the Lord, is upon him. And then you come on down, and the Bible said in verse 22 in Luke 4, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceedeth out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Do you ever close your eyes and wonder what it would be like to sit on the seashore while Jesus, he just thrust out a little on the boat? I don't know if he sat down on the edge of the boat and let his legs hang over. Maybe his feet were dipped in the water while he was teaching them. You ever just stop and wonder what it would be like to hear his voice? Amen, as he taught. And the Bible said there were gracious words. Verse 23, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whosoever
we have heard, whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save to Sarepta, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, or Elijah the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, save in Naaman the Syrian. You see, Jesus is telling us something here. He's come. He's holy. He has a ministry. He has a plan. But beloved, listen, the majority will never discover that plan for their lives. Jesus is telling us there were many widows, but there's one that God helped. There were many lepers, but there was one that God helped. And the Bible said here, and they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Can you imagine? Jesus has come out of the wilderness, being tempted of the devil. Jesus is anointed. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. They know who this is talking about now in the book of Isaiah. Jesus is speaking gracious words, and yet some are ready to kill him. Watch what the Bible said. When they heard these things, they were filled with wrath, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. I'm telling you, it's Christmas. It's Christmas in my heart. I thank God for my Savior. But I tell you, this world's full of people that'll never give him the first thought. Amen. This world's full of people that would like to get him and his followers out of the way. But thank God, thank God, thank God, Jesus went on and fulfilled the purpose of God for his life. You and I, by the grace of God, ought to determine to do the same. But he passing through the midst of them went his way. So the first thing in the message is an anointed Messiah. The second thing in the message is an anointed ministry. If you look back at Isaiah 61 with me, please. The Bible said, the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me. What's his ministry? He's going to preach good tidings. I'll tell you, you'll never hear any better news than the gospel. How that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. You could ask the average churchgoer, what is the gospel? And you'd get all kinds of answers. Some would say it's the good news. Well, tell me about the good news. I'll tell you, I don't believe it's the good news. I believe it's the best news anybody ever heard in their life. A Savior was willing to come into this world, willing to give his life, willing to be buried, and willing to raise from the dead, that you and I could have life and have it eternal. This ministry was to preach. The word proclaim is used. It means the same thing. He's going to preach the gospel. He's going to preach to heal the brokenhearted. He's going to preach deliverance. And by the way, beloved, I'm going to just go ahead and say this. There is no deliverance apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way that we can be saved by the grace of God. No other way we can get out of sin's prison. No other way to escape the captivity that we're in, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound. I believe with all of my heart there's a twofold message here. Beloved, sin had every one of us bound. Say amen. But I believe there's another message here. Jesus is talking about a day, beloved. Listen, when his people, you remember in the days the early days of the church, they locked Peter up. You know who opened the prison? The Lord did. Say amen. They locked Paul and Silas up. You know who opened the prison? God did. Amen. He shook that place. Amen. And the doors flew open. You say, what's so great about that? I'll tell you, if you've ever ministered in prison, you'd know what's great. All the doors flew open and the prisoners didn't run. Amen. They said, no, there's something going on here we better get in on. I can't help but believe, Brother Jack, it wasn't just the jailer that got help that night. Amen. I believe I'm going to get to heaven, and there are going to be some of them old boys that had wasted their life. Amen. They're going to say, boy, we saw something that night. We heard something that night we had never considered before. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Opening a prison to the blind to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Did you know this? I don't know if you caught it or not, but when you read the New Testament, there's something that's left out. And that is the day of vengeance of our God. It's left out. It's because it's two different events. The first advent of our Lord when He comes, amen, and the second advent, amen, when He comes again. It's two different events. And what Jesus was telling them there in the book of Luke is, I'm here on the first advent right now, amen. I'm here to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted. You remember John said, art thou He, or should we look for another? I won't get this exactly right, but he said, you just go tell them the blind see and the deaf hear and the lame walk and the dead are raised. I believe old John said, glory to God, that's him, boys. We ain't got nothing to worry about. Amen. There's only one that can do those things, and it's Jesus, our Lord. Amen. An anointed ministry. Look at Acts chapter 10 for just a moment. Acts chapter number 10, verse number 38. Acts chapter number 10 and verse number 38. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for putting up with us today. Verse 38, the Bible said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I like this, for God was with him. Again, beloved, if Jesus understood the need to have the Spirit of God upon him. Let me say this. I've said this before. It's one thing to be saved and have the Spirit of God in you. It's quite another to be yielded to God and have the Spirit of God on you. It's quite another. Amen. Jesus didn't just have the Spirit of God in him. He had the Spirit of God on him. Amen. And it made it evident in his ministry. Look at Hebrews chapter number 1 for just a moment. Hebrews chapter number 1. And we'll move on to the last thing in the message. I'm about probably 22 or 23 miles from home, but I think I can smell those ribs. Amen. My wife said this morning, you want to see something beautiful? And she uncovered them. She shouldn't have done that. Amen. Wicked woman. I'm glad I didn't hear that. Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 9. Thou hast loved, this is speaking again. Well, let me read verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Anybody that doesn't believe Jesus is eternal doesn't believe those verses right there. Unto us a child is born, but unto us the Son is given. The Son couldn't be born because the Son always has been. Amen. He is from everlasting to everlasting. So we see the anointed Messiah. We see His anointed ministry. The last thing I would like to look at in the message for a few minutes today is His anointed ministers. Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I don't apologize for turning in the Bible. I believe that's a good thing to do. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And In verse number 21, now he which establishes us with you, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. He said, now he that establishes us with you in Christ, watch this, hath anointed us is God. Now he that establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. I want to say, beloved, not only was the Messiah anointed, and not only did he have an anointed ministry, but it is in the plan of God that he have anointed ministers, even today, here on the earth. Let me show you again. Take your Bible and turn, please, to the book of Acts, chapter number 9. We're set apart. Jesus was set apart to fulfill God's plan. You and I are set apart as well to fulfill God's plan. Acts chapter number 9, look at verse 15 and verse number 16. You remember Paul had met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And in verse 15, the Bible said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. This is talking about the ministry of the one that was called Saul, that persecuted the church, that met Christ on the road to Damascus, and now is Paul the apostle. I wonder what the health and wealth preachers do with verses like that. God appointed him to suffer. That's what the scripture said. Amen. And beloved, Paul did a good job. He actually did a great job at yielding his life to the purpose of God for his life. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, if you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy, I'll show you how that we can know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Amen. We can know that the Apostle Paul, beloved, listen, he yielded himself to God's plan for his life. The Bible said in verse number 6, Paul is writing to Timothy, his young preacher boy. He said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Beloved, let me just say this. Folks that are never interested in the plan of God for their life will not be able to say this when it comes time to die. Will not be able to say it. Because Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered. I'm glad, listen, only Christ can help you to be ready to die. But the Bible said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but to all them also who love his appearing. Beloved, Paul was an anointed minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll go with me, there's one more place I want to look. Let me see. It's in John. I didn't have a note, and it almost skipped my mind. It's in 1 John. I'm sorry, 1 John. I want you to see this, and we're done. The Bible said in 1 John, chapter number 2 and verse number 27, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. I'm trying to tell you, beloved, every child of God has access to this anointing of the Spirit of God in their life. The Bible said, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Look at verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You know what I believe? I believe people that have sought the will of God for their life, that have tried their best, just whatever, whichever, you know, the songwriter said, where he leads me, I will follow. Those that have sought his will, those that have discovered his purpose for their life, those that, beloved, will do the will of God in their life, will be able to stand before him when he comes with confidence and say, thank God, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. There he is. I've been looking for him. I've been loving on him. I've been living for him. What a blessing that would be. But beloved, the Bible also teaches that many not be ashamed before him at his coming. The Bible said, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. A genuine belief in Christ will change the genuine behavior in a Christian. I've said this for years. If there's no change, there's no Christ. Whatever happened, junk it. Amen? Because the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Our Lord is not in the remodeling business. He didn't take my life and begin to remodel it. Honey, he gave me a brand new life. I begin to love the things I used to hate and hate the things I used to love. Help me to love others, even when they don't love me. Our Lord cried from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had no malice in his heart. It's Christmas. The A is for the anointed one. There's an anointed Messiah who fulfilled an anointed ministry. And I desire your prayers. Brother Chris, I want to be an anointed minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be able to say when it's my time, the time of my departure is at hand, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. One of my fondest memories, when God put it in my heart to come to the church, I don't remember exactly where in the process, but I think it was maybe the night that I revealed to the church that I would be a candidate. I said something like this, I don't know what I have left, but whatever it is, y'all can have it if you want it. I'm glad that's still in my heart 11 years later. I don't know what I have left, but I know this, God knows. And I want to get to the end of the way. No retreat. Not going back, amen. No reserve. Not holding back. And then I can get to the end of the way with no regrets. I don't believe Paul had any regrets, amen, when he came to the end of the way. Merry Christmas. I pray God will help you to find His plan for your life. By the grace of God, yield to that. Yield to that. Because those are who the truly joyful people are, the ones that are yielded to the Lord. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you, Sister Laura. Get us a number, honey. Thank you. I pray this morning, Lord, that you just speak to our hearts. And I know it's Christmas. And Lord, the song they sang a while ago, Fall on Your Knees. Lord, I want to do that the remainder of my life. Yielded, Lord. God, there's battles. And unlike Jesus, I don't always win them. Sometimes, Lord, I'm defeated. But Lord, I know this. We have access to that anointing that, Lord, would help us be able to say like the Apostle Paul, we triumph in Christ. Lord, I pray today if there's one here that doesn't know you, Lord, it's Christmas. The first step in that yielding would be yielding to the Savior. God, I pray today they would yield to you. They would receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. Help us now, Lord, today we pray, God, to kneel in your presence, to worship you, to commit our lives to you afresh and anew. God, we'll give you glory.